Blog Talk Radio.
The Dice Wisdom app is an entirely new method of divination. Based on the casting of two regular dice, this entertaining app is a remarkable way to receive clarity on your questions. Easy to use, accurate, and thought-provoking, the Dice Wisdom app will provide you with the exact attitude, action, or energy to promote the most positive response to your query. Ask a yes or no question, ask about how to attract love, or simply tap the dice for daily meditation. Find out more at dicewisdom.com. Go ahead and roll the dice. Your life only gets better from here.
How do you contact Mona? Her website is thepsychicview.com, and her phone number is 702-571-0461. Mona is available for special events, VIP receptions, Las Vegas trade shows, and personal readings in Las Vegas by appointment. Mona holds the Privileged Psychic Arts License through the City of Las Vegas and is the published author of Chancing Life, Wisdom and a Dice Toss. Call 702-571-0461. That's 702-571-0461. Remember, Mona changes lives one at a time.
Well, welcome everybody to this fabulously beautiful Sunday morning here in Las Vegas. So I love that you guys tune in a little early and you line up your calls so that I can get right to them here in just a minute. One of the things I want to tell you is that we have a lot of people that are intuitive readers on this planet, and I actually think that we're building toward a more intuitive approach to life. I actually also think that science and intuition will come together to be like two rails on a train track where they align and move forward in the same direction with a certain amount of space between them. But I actually think that that's what's happening in our global universe right now, that we are aligning science and intuition. We're aligning analytical with intuitive. I just think that's where we're going. Anyway, I'm going to go right to the calls. I have somebody here from the 916 area code. Hello, 916. Who's this? Oh, I get you on the air. Hold on. My bad. Hello, 916. Who's this?
Hi, Mona. My name is Wendy from Sacramento,
California. Oh, hi, Wendy.
California.
Hi. How are you?
Well, I've been through a lot. I downloaded my resume into Kaiser Permanente's website for a position in a call center with them. That was about, I don't know, maybe 8-9 days ago. And I have 15 years experience in a similar environment. I actually had communication from the recruiter in October, but that had to be put on hold because I had two emergency surgeries. So do you see Kaiser hiring me?
So the very first thing that I want to address with you is not necessarily, I mean, I'll get to your Kaiser question in a second, but I want to address something different. I want to address the energy of you being actually really spiritually ready to start a new job and leave the past behind. Because
I feel like I'm more than ready.
Okay, because I feel, as you asked the question, that there is still some lingering issues from what happened at the last job that you had for a long time. And so I'm going to give you an exercise to do. And that's where you take out a sheet of paper, and it's sort of the ritual of release exercise. And I tell this to people from time to time. But you take out a sheet of paper, you write down the name of somebody that did something to hurt you and what the person did. So Bob was an ass to me at work, kind of that kind of thing. So you write down their name and what they did.
Name.
Oh, that
that's,
is so funny. Okay. So you're going to write down their name and what they did, all right? You're going to do this for every single person you can think of for as far back as you can remember. So this is going way back, all right?
Mm-hmm.
At the bottom of that list, you're going to write these words, I release these past events for my new beginning.
Okay.
Okay?
That's
I release
good.
These past events for my new beginning. Then you're going to sign your name, you're going to crumple it up, and you're going to safely burn it.
Okay.
Okay? And then
I'll do it.
Monday, tomorrow, about 10 a.m., mm-hmm. you're going to make
uh-huh.
a phone call to Human Resources at Kaiser Permanente.
Okay.
And you're
okay.
going to say, hi, my name is Wendy. I applied online recently for the call center position, and I wanted to follow up to see where you are on that position.
Okay.
Now, they may not answer. You might just leave that as a message. But you leave your
okay.
first and last name, you leave your phone number, and you say, I'm just calling to follow up on the application I submitted for the call center position recently. Don't say how many days ago.
Okay.
Just say recently, all right?
Okay.
Because
okay.
what I'm getting here with you is that we need the vibration of letting go of the crap from the past. We have to realize that karma, we have to realize that the universe, or we have to realize that God is going to take care of Bob. And we have
mm-hmm.
to let it go. Because you know, the best way to live your life is, and these are my words, be happy and do good, right? And
absolutely.
The thing is that when it's very difficult to be happy when you're looking to have money to survive. So we have to clear away all the energies that could possibly stand in the way of you getting a job.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So once we clear away those energies, Wendy, then what happens is people look at you like, wow, she was at her last job a really long time. Wow, she could be at our job for a really long time.
Right.
Okay. And the thing is that what are you going to tell people when they ask you, why aren't you at your last job?
I'm going to say that I left due to a family emergency. And
that's
technically
fine.
Okay.
No, that's fine. I just, the thing is that I don't want you to bring up anything negative that could be held against you, even though the last company, from surface perspective, wronged you. See, I think the last company did you a favor that you're not there anymore, personally.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Right.
And that mm-hmm. once you really accept the fact that you're not supposed to be there anymore, you've already paid your karma. Bob's going to get his. And
yeah.
you move on. And then when it gets back to everybody you used to work with that you've got this kick-butt new job, and it doesn't matter where it is. Do you see
mm-hmm.
what I mean? But what I want you to do is that do that exercise today, and then tomorrow
yes.
about 10 o'clock, you follow up with Human
yes.
Resources. And what
I'm,
might
I'm
happen is...
Here.
Okay, but what might happen is when you call them, you might actually talk to somebody. And when you do talk to somebody, say, hey, I just wanted to check in with y'all. I applied recently for this position. And I'm wondering how you guys handle online applications.
Okay.
What do you look for? Because you want her talking to you. You want to charm the heck out of her. Do you see what I mean?
Right.
Just be just like you're dealing with a new client on your call, like if you were a call center person, how would you deal with them to find out information?
Exactly. And it was Aaron that I spoke to last October.
Okay.
He emailed me 5 times. And so I do have his email and his phone number.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. Thank you, gal pal. Talk to you later. All right. I've got somebody here from the 706 area code. Hello, 706. Who's this?
Hi, Mona. This is Sophia. How are you?
Hi, Sophia. What's your question?
My question is, Mona, is I have a friend, and I'm wanting to know, have our friendship served its purpose? It is now time for us to go separate ways, as well as with this business venture we were supposed to
let me talk about the business venture first. The friend was expecting you to do all the work. Does that make sense?
We had a little tiff last week, and a part of it I took full responsibility for because I noticed a pattern that I used to do a lot with people, and especially friends, and not taking away from her because she really is a good person, but I was finding myself doing exactly what you said. I feel
right.
like I'm doing most of the work. We're supposed to meet every week. You know, just not sticking to plan. And but I quickly recognized what it was. The old
right.
me, it would have been a year later, and then I would have started feeling very resentful.
Right.
So I reached out to her and told her, you know, she kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, but, you know, maybe we can talk about things. And I shouldn't have done it in a text. That was my error. Because she took the text the wrong way and said, you know, she didn't no longer wanted to have the friendship. But then she apologized once she learned that that's not what I was implying, not pointing fingers. I just wanted us to sit down and talk. So I quickly kind of got back in the frame of thought of, wow, maybe this was supposed to happen.
Well,
so I
here's
don't know.
How I'm looking at it, is that this little tiny hitch upside the head bit of sorrow is
mm-hmm.
actually a realization that if there is any kind of business to be done, you should do it yourself, not with anybody.
Okay.
And, you know, it could be something as simple as a I don't care if it's a mail, you know, remembering people's birthdays business, or if it's a errand business, or if it's a,
no, it's
you know, house
a workshop. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, whatever it is, I want you to do it on your own, not with anybody else. I'm serious.
Okay,
And what I'd rather you be the person that is the expert of that thing and align with three other people that have different businesses that you all complement each other. So if you do workshops, one of your best friends might be a massage therapist. Do you see what I mean? Or a chiropractor. Or
mm-hmm.
a real estate agent. I mean, you get three other people with you that all do different businesses, but you complement each other by what you bring to the table.
And that was the plan.
Right.
You know, she has her own thing. I have my own thing where we're just going to come together to get this done.
Well, she's not the one then. Because
okay.
I don't want you being the one orchestrating everything. And because she's sort of expecting you to do it, and she reaps the rewards of your hard work, and you end up not with that much. And I don't want this to build into resentment. I want this
oh,
to
no,
be,
no, no.
yeah, I want this to be a, I'm going to just step back and reconsider what I really want to do at this point. And what I'm seeing here is within the next couple of months that you're going to get an inspiration by sort of a spontaneous meeting with somebody. And that's going to promote what you do next. But you're going to do it autonomously according to what I'm seeing here.
You said autonomously?
Yeah, a la carte.
Okay.
Okay, girl. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
See you later.
Thank you, Mona. Bye,
okay,
dear.
Bye. All right, I've got somebody here from the 917 area code. Hello, 917. Who's this?
Hello, Mona. My name is Ashiel. How are you?
Hi, Ashiel. What's your question?
I also have a friendship question. I had a fallout with my best friend before Thanksgiving.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, well, you know, it happens. I ended the friendship because I felt like, you know, the new year was coming in, maybe just to leave it behind. But lately we've been running into each other. You know, we don't really, like, acknowledge each other. You know, there's some eye contact, so to speak. But I feel like there's still a strong connection between us, and I'm trying to understand what's going on because this really never happened to me. When I walk away from somebody, usually I'm done, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're dead to you, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's the interesting thing that I'm seeing with this friendship is what it's saying that you have not yet finished the karmic lesson with this person. There is still something to learn. And so the best way to approach it is treat him like he's your most difficult client. Treat him politely. But, you know, I have this wonderful way of explaining the difference between being nice and being polite, all right? And I'm going to share that with you. Being nice means that you'll drive off in the middle of the night to bail somebody out of jail. That's nice, all right? Polite is, I'm terribly sorry, but I am fully invested right now and I can't help you. Okay? There's a difference, right? The thing is what I'm getting with you is that there's still a message. There is still a there's still something you're supposed to learn from this person, which is why they keep showing up in your life. So I want you to be polite. You don't have to. You don't have to go and have cocktails. You don't have to go and play soccer with them or anything. You just have to be polite, because there's still a message coming, which is part of the reason you keep running into this person.
So obviously we're going to be talking again.
Well, according to this, that's what it's saying, is that there is there's unfinished business here.
Okay, that makes sense.
And I want to tell you that it's not that you end up being best buddies with them anymore. It's just there is still some unfinished business. There's still a message coming from that source for you that's very important to you. And what happens is that it helps you follow your heart. So I'm gonna actually give you another example of what I'm talking about. So let's say this argument hit a nerve with you. It really affected you. Part of maybe what goes on here is that you might need to look at why that upset you so much. Because sometimes things only upset us if they've tapped into our truth in some way. So maybe what happened was there was a truth that got tapped into, or something you feel uncomfortable about, that when this event happened, it brought that up with you. So it may not mean that you end up connecting with him, but that you actually evaluate and really focus in on the feeling that you were left after that interaction at Thanksgiving.
Wow, makes a lot of sense. Is he feeling that way too, or is it just me?
Well, it doesn't really matter what he believes.
Okay.
It's what you believe, because I'm telling you, we can't control anybody's behavior but ours. All right,
okay.
And I have to tell you, that's why there's lots of psychics out there, or alleged psychics or readers out there saying that they can, you know, bring up back a loved one or whatever, you know, like, hey, I want my boyfriend back. And so suddenly that person has just spent $5,000 for alleged spells to bring that boyfriend back. Well, that's not how it works. The way it works is you step into the energy that you need to most pay attention to. So if this person triggered some energy you don't like, it's time to examine that energy.
Okay.
And the thing is that I actually think you may end up talking with them again, but what I'm getting is that it really doesn't matter whether you talk to them or not, because you'll have cleansed, evaluated, and reconciled the feeling, which is exactly what the most important thing is. So, all right, my friend, thanks for calling. See you later.
Thank you for your help.
Okay, bye. All right, I've got somebody here from the 617 area code. Hello, 617. Who's this?
Hi, Mona. This is Karen. How are you?
Hi, Karen. What's your question?
Hi. Well, my question is, I want to know if you can see how things are going to be for me in the next couple of months. Or do I need
That's
to
a
have
full
a specific
reading question?
Okay.
I need a specific subject.
Okay. What about love? You're going to say, what about
out.
Love?
Okay, watch out for the guys that seem to be looking at you as a rescue mission.
Oh, no.
Because you've got two guys here that one has got a temper. The other one may have been incarcerated.
Oh, no.
And so what I'm getting is that you have these guys that are attracted to you because they look at your strengths and they look at what you can do. And I want you to be able to identify the red flags really early and just say no.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. Right now, this is not about your ability to help other people. It's about your focusing in on what's important to you. You have to be selfish enough to be everything and live up to your own potential first before you're any good to anybody else. I see so many people that think it's noble to exclusively live for others. Now, I'm not saying you don't help others, but what I'm saying is that if you can't, sacrifice your own stuff.
Absolutely.
In order for you to move, in order for you to make somebody else feel good or rescue somebody else. So
that's true.
I'll give you an example. Let's say some guy comes to you and he says, Karen, babe, I need $300 or I won't be able to make my rent. And then you actually come back and you say, well, if I gave you $300, I wouldn't be able to pay mine.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm serious.
Sure.
You need to actually, because for whatever reason, you've gotten people around you thinking that it is absolutely compulsive for you to give.
And I know what you're saying.
Right, and when you give from your overflow, then it comes back to you tenfold. When you give from your own resources, then you start worrying about your resources. And when you worry about money, you cut the flow off.
You're right. You're 100% correct, because that's what I'm doing now. It's like,
right,
I just stopped rescuing people. It's like, you know what? It I have to feel it in my soul to do it. And if I'm not feeling it in my gut and in my soul to do it, I just don't step forward and do it.
But the good way to say no is, I'd really love to help you right now, but I'm fully invested.
Okay.
Say that. I'd love to help you right now, but I'm fully invested. And the thing is that if you know a phone call is coming, and you know that phone call is about to hit you up for a favor or money, don't answer the phone.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because my mom is in really deep.
Right.
And I usually feel guilty and I give, but this is the first time in my life I have not returned the phone call. And don't feel guilty about it.
Well, and see, here's the thing, is that there are other resources available to her besides you.
Absolutely, yes.
And
everybody's mad at me. My whole family is mad at me. It's like, how can you allow this to happen? And
you need to think that's funny. I can't believe
you
think it's, I know, but you actually need to, when somebody said, if somebody has the ball to criticize you.
Oh, yeah.
Say, wow, really?
Yeah.
Let me give you a ticker tape of how much money I've given Mom.
Yes. And have rescued Mom.
And then say, you say, sweetie, Mom may be feeding you something here, and you all think that I might have a bunch of money sitting around.
That's right.
But, you know, I'm just check to check like you guys are. I just am a little
That's
bit
right.
more saving than you guys are. And I'm just telling you, I can't do it anymore. I can't.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
if you're gonna be the B word to me over the fact that I can't give to my sacrifice to Mom, then wow, really? I'd love to see somebody else help Mom the way I have.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely right.
That's
and
what I have to say.
Feels good.
You can't criticize me until you've given Mom as much money as I have, and then laugh.
Yep.
I mean, because they just think that you've turned into this ATM.
It was the same thing with my sister that has that passed in February. It was the same way. She was their cash cow. Always, always giving. And now that she's no longer here.
Cash cow.
She was their cash cow.
Well, but here's the funny thing is that when you actually say that the gravy train has no longer got the steam, as soon as you actually just start saying that, hey, gravy train don't got no steam now. And just really, I mean, the more fun that you make it, the more you laugh about it, just say, you know, wow, if I knew that I hadn't given Mom so much money, I would be offended. And I know you don't want to offend me. You could just, I mean, make it a joke. And the way you respond, I love that particular phrase, by the way.
I like
you know,
that, too.
Yeah. You know, if I hadn't given Mom so much money, I'd actually think that you were trying to say something hurtful to me. And they're not going to be able to respond to that.
They haven't been. They cut me out. They haven't spoken to me in like 3 months.
Well, and you know what? Time to make the family that you weren't born to.
Exactly. Yep. And I'm loving
it.
I'm
serious.
I'm really loving this, because I would come home and look at the recording and see if the phone was blinking. It's like I don't do that anymore.
Right. Well, and here's the thing is that they're going to try a different tactic soon. It's going to be, hey, you should come over. We'll do a potluck dinner at the house. Say, okay. and you bring over your famous meatballs or whatever you're famous for. You have a lovely dinner. And if someone mm-hmm. brings up the subject about money, say, oh, you know what? I have a really early day tomorrow. I'll come get my crock pot later, and I'll see you guys later. I'm serious. You got to have fun with this. And then here's my other famous phrase. You know what? I'd really like to help you, but I am fully invested right now, but I can't wait to hear how you figure this out. That's another great one. I can't wait to hear how you figure this out.
I can hear the door slamming behind me.
And that's okay. I mean, it's okay.
Oh, right. I can see them at the kitchen table now going, do you believe that bitch?
I'm just saying, you karmically, I think you got to this point for a reason. Because
Amen.
everybody gets to the point where they realize that their life is up to them.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes it
so
takes
true.
A little longer in certain people's lives, but really, their life is all up to them.
That's true.
Right, gal pal, got to go.
All right, thank
Thanks
you, beautiful.
For
all righty.
All right, see
all right,
bye-bye. All right, bye. All right, I've got somebody from the 718 area code. Whoop, let me get them on the air. Hold on. 718. Hello, 718. Who's this?
Hi, this is Keisha.
Hi, Keisha. What's your question?
I'm interested in meeting my true love. I want to get married. I want to have kids. And I want to know, when is that going to happen, or is it people I need to let go, or things I need to change?
Well, you have two cards here that are interesting. I'll go to these two cards at the end. I want to save those for last. So you have these cards that talk about, you've got an incredibly high standard of who you get to spend time with, or who you allow yourself to spend time with. And then there's a part of you that sort of feels guilty about that you have this really, really high standard of who you want to spend your life with.
Uh-huh.
And you may have even been criticized by friends and family going, oh, my God, Keisha, you're so picky. But what I'm getting here is that I actually think that you really, truly weren't ready for the relationship until right about now. So the pickiness is actually going to fade away, because you're not going to so much look at what he looks like, or you're not going to look at the surface of him. You're going to look into the heart of him.
Okay.
And, you know, it's funny. I actually met with a client recently who was, I mean, this guy is just, he's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
He's slender, he's got dark hair, and he's just amazing blue eyes. He is absolutely, I mean, if he dressed up like a pirate, he'd look like Johnny Depp. I mean, this guy is gorgeous with blue eyes, okay?
Uh-huh.
He's just gorgeous. Everything about this guy is gorgeous. And he's smart, and he's got this incredibly spiritual heart. I mean, this guy is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is one of the things we talked about is soulmates.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the great love. And I said, I know how you can wean away the ones, cull away the ones that are not worthy of a relationship for you.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the question. And I want you to start asking men this question. Are you ready?
Okay, yeah.
Now, we don't ask this like right off the bat, because it's really an intense question.
Okay?
But here it is. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
What gives your life meaning?
Uh-huh.
That's the question.
Okay.
Now, this is not necessarily at the beginning of a first date question, but it
right.
might be after a cocktail on the first date.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, look, I'm going to ask you kind of a tough question, and he'll go, oh, yeah, go ahead, shoot. What gives your life meaning?
Okay, no, because I've been most of the men I've been meeting are people I'm arguing with them, or I'm
no,
just...
no, no. See, this is not the right one. No, anyone that you argue with, and by the way, that argument, that's fear.
Okay.
Because if you go right into sort of standing on the hill that you might die on, as soon as you go into having that kind of an opinion, that's
mm-hmm.
fear,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
When you live your life in fear, then nothing's good enough. and you're questioning everything. When you live your life in love, you're actually looking at everything and accepting everything. I mean, not necessarily taking action, but taking it in and accepting it until you have time to process it.
Yeah, I want to meet men. I want to meet men that I'm actually attracted to, actually like, and I don't feel I've met men I've liked
in
a long
time.
Here's
the thing, though, is that I think in some ways, if a guy is not your perfect ideal of attractive, that you don't give him a chance.
I'm looking for, that feeling.
Okay, but here's the thing. Is I met my husband a year before we started dating. I didn't see it until a year after I met him.
Okay.
I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. And when I felt it, it hit me upside the head.
Oh.
It was,
okay.
And I'm telling you, is that I want you to start treating all men as though they could be your friend.
Okay.
We don't look at all men like, is he the one? I just want you to start treating all men as though they could be your friend.
Okay.
All right? Now,
okay.
If you switch to that tactic and you don't poke anybody, basically, you don't let anyone poke you. If we don't do any sex here, you can be friends with as many men as you
want. I used to have a lot of men friends, and then somebody told me to get rid of them because they were.
No. Uh-uh.
Okay.
I want you to, lots of men friends. I want you to I want you to visit with men and have them teach you things like golf.
Okay.
Or go play tennis with your men friends.
Okay.
Or maybe do a biking thing, you know, for like one of those 25-mile bike ride things for charity. But what you do is you have men friends.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that because you have men friends, then you can say, you can actually ask them, what's your meaning of life? What gives your life meaning? And when you ask that question, then what happens is they'll go, wow, that's pretty intense, girl. And you'll say, well, the way I'm looking at it is that if I don't ask that question, then I won't know if the people I'm spending time with are aligning with my values.
Okay.
And so here's the last thing I want to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You are supposed to find some ongoing spiritual connection that you, because you have a card here that talks about connection with the universe or connection with God.
Uh-huh.
And that if you can just relax into the idea that God is gearing you and guiding you to the right guy.
Okay.
Then making friends with these guys, you know, you may even find one that you find attractive, but don't you dare poke them. I'm serious. You actually say, I want to make sure I like you before I poke you.
That's what I've been doing. That's what I learned from my last.
But all you do is you ask the question before the end of the first date, after at least one cocktail, what gives your life meaning?
Okay.
And then you can still be their friend if you don't agree with it. But if you do agree with it, then that's somebody that goes from the C list to the B list.
I'm just looking forward. I thought it was supposed to be like this big, you know, you meet the guy, you're supposed to just be alone.
No, that's not how it's going to happen with you. It's not going to be fireworks and explosions. It's going to be, wow, I really like spending time with this guy. And then you're going to have some really, really incredible sexy dream about him that you never would have thought that face would be I'm serious. That you never thought that face would be the one that you would be getting all hot over. But I'm telling you, that's how it's going to happen with you.
That's funny. That happened to me before with someone, too. I had a dream about him, and I was like, really? But he doesn't live. He lives in another state, but that's so interesting. But, okay, this has been what I'm doing, actually. Thank you so much.
All right, my gal. Great talking with you. See you later.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. All right, let me see. Wow, you guys, thanks for finding my program. I'm going to go to area code. Hold on. Let's see. I already talked to them. Area code 203. Hello, 203. Who's this?
Yeah, hi. My name is Anne. I'm getting something out of every call you had, bleeding over. It's really good.
How cool is that? Thank you for saying that to me, Anne. So what's your question for me today?
That's what I'm deciding between two areas. I'm going to go for this one. reconnect with a person from the past. Now, next to impossible for me to figure out where he is, but I still think that's going to happen. Not looking for spells or this or that. And I know I went through a lot of karma, so got to deal with, you know, am I poking that again? So,
okay, so here's, wait a minute. Here's the thing. What I'm seeing about this person from the past is that there was sort of an energy suck going on with this relationship with you, that that you, and the reason I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it this way, is that you were so into this relationship that you actually were sacrificing your identity in order to connect with this person. What I mean by that is that you were trying to change yourself to be what you thought he wanted you to be. No, it's true. And I'm telling you that for a reason. I don't want you to slip back into that energy. I don't want you to find him and go, see, I've changed. I'm exactly what you want me to be now. That's what I don't want to have happen. Because what I'm seeing here is that, you know, there's a saying that when you keep looking back, you're going to stumble moving forward. All right. And what I'm telling you is that I'm going to give you an exercise of release for him instead of you trying to seek him out. And this is the exercise of release. Let's say his name's John. You're going to write him a letter. Dear John. And you're going to say everything in this letter, all the shoulda, woulda, couldas, all the regrets, everything that had to do with this relationship, even your desire to reconnect with him again. All of that goes in this letter, all right? You are not going to find a way to send it to him. It is not going to get sent to him. At the bottom of the letter, you're going to write, I release this past relationship for the one I deserve.
Okay.
All right? This needs to be firmly in the past, my friend. And you deserve to have a man that appreciates you for who you are, not a man that you have to try and change yourself to impress him.
Okay.
All right? Okay. So this relationship needs to be firmly and stay in the past. And after you have written this letter and after you've written those words, I release this past relationship for the one I deserve, you're going to sign your name, you're going to crumple it up, and you're going to burn it. Okay? There's a second part to this exercise. The second part is where you take out an index card and you write down the five qualities that you're looking for in the next relationship.
Okay.
Because the relationship is going to be someone that you're looking forward to, not looking back to. So these five things that you could even take the qualities that you thought you saw in John and write them on this card, all right? But you write down the five qualities. After you write down the five qualities, you write these words, this relationship or something better now manifests for me and the benefit of all concerned. So I'll say it again. This relationship or someone better now manifests for me and the benefit of all concerned. Then you're going to take that index card and you're going to put it in either in your Bible or you're going to put it someplace sacred. I don't know if you have an altar. I have a little place where I put trinkets that people have given me, crystals and all that. And I tuck things there. Like I'll do prayers for people and I'll tuck them there. I should just do that. So do that with that card. But this guy from the past needs to stay there.
Okay.
All right, my friend. Thanks for calling. See you later.
Thanks.
Okay, bye. All right, I've got somebody here from the 313 area code. Hello, 313.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
Hello,
what's
Sherelle.
Your first name?
Sherelle.
I'm sorry.
Sherelle.
Okay. What's your question for me?
I was wondering, would I ever hear from Sam again? I haven't heard from him in a month and a half. And I've been texting and just been no response. Is there anything I did to him? Please and thank you.
Let's see. He's moved on. He's just moved on. And you can't take it personally that you did something wrong. He's just, I'm going to say it, he's kind of a dirty dog.
Wow.
And you can't take it. I think you dodged a bullet with him personally. I think that it's kind of good that he's not responding because he's not stringing you along. You're stringing
right,
you along,
yeah.
But he's not stringing you along. So I think
right.
you dodged a bullet by the fact that he's not responding. And I actually
mm-hmm.
think that the quicker that you decide that he really should be in the past,
mm-hmm.
and you might have you probably were listening to what I told the caller before you. Some of those exercises
yes.
would be really good for you too. But what I'm seeing here is that you know, a lot of these guys don't even realize the impact they have on the women that they just sort of, pardon the way I'm saying this, blow through. They don't,
right, exactly.
they don't realize it. They're so self-absorbed, and that's what Sam is, incredibly self-absorbed.
Wow.
And sometimes women see this sort of self-absorbent as though that's a strength, and actually
mm-hmm.
what it is it's just, you know, it's just selfish. And the thing is, I don't mind people being selfish. And I'm going to give you what I consider is pure good selfish, and that is developing yourself to the point of success and prosperity. And then, after you've done that, then you can give back. But I really
mm-hmm.
think most people never get to that point. They are so selfish about their own will that they hurt people along the way. And that's when selfish is bad. But I actually think that he's done a favor for you by not reaching back to you.
Okay. I just leave him alone.
And it's just time to move on. It really
okay.
is. You know, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. It's when you don't care. And I actually...
Yeah,
And he doesn't care. And why do you
mm-hmm.
want to be with someone that doesn't care? It's like working for a boss that doesn't like you. He or she can't even explain why they don't like you. They just don't like you. So nothing
right.
is ever going to be easy with that person ever. So why would you put yourself in that kind of, you know, ickiness? You deserve
right.
way better. I'm just saying, you deserve way better. All right, girl. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank
you.
See
you later. Okay, bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, you guys, I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You may have seen Mystic Mona rubbing elbows with major celebrities or on their reality program, Sister Wives. When I need the best intuitive advice on the go, I turn to the Dice Wisdom app, available for both iPhone and Android. The Dice Wisdom app is all I need for that extra edge. Go to dicewisdom.com.
Okay, so I'm back. And, you know, I have a lot of you on hold here that are not queued up for me to actually answer your call. So let me see if I can get this person on the air. Hold on. Hello, area code 904. Did you have a question for me today?
Hello.
Hi, this is Mona. Did you have a question for me today?
Yes, I was really, you know, like listening and taking in with every call, you know, because like the ladies that mentioned, you know, except for the relationship part, I was resonating on, you know, what you were saying.
Okay, well, did you have a question for me, or you want to get back on hold?
Well, my question would be about career.
Okay.
My name is Sarah.
Well, Sarah, let me see what the cards want to tell you about career. Okay?
Okay.
Here we go. So, okay, now this is interesting. And it's saying that as soon as you really decide what you want to do, the angels will guide you to have it. That's literally what your cards say. And that it's time to let go of something you did before because it no longer serves you. It no longer, at the end of the day, makes you feel good, all right? So it's saying that there's a big step back from what you did before and allowing yourself or allowing the angels to guide you to the next thing. So it's interesting is that the more that you actually say, just say, Lord, I'm open to your blessing. Just say, I'm open to the blessings of the universe to guide me to something that is more fulfilling than I've had before. Because according to what I'm seeing in your cards, as soon as you focus on something that actually gives you great joy to do, it's saying that you're being directed to that.
Okay.
And it really boils down to what gives you great joy to do.
Okay. So your phraseology was, I am focused on the universe. I wanted to write it down.
Right. I am focusing on the universe guiding me to my next successful career or my next successful position. Because what I'm seeing here is you literally have right in the middle of your reading angels guiding you to the next place. So you can even say, I'm open to the angels guiding me to my next job.
Okay.
Now, one of the things you do really well, I'm going to say one more thing to you. One of the things you do really well is you keep people around you focused on what's important. And so one of the things that you could say to a potential employer when you go for an interview is, you know, I'm really good at bringing harmony to chaos. I'm really good at keeping people around me as well as myself focused on what's important.
Okay. All right,
my friend.
Thanks for listening.
I'll put you back on hold.
Thank you.
Okay, all right, here you go.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, let's see. I have somebody here from the 646 area code. Hello, 646.
Hello, Mona.
Who's this?
It's Helena. How are you?
Oh, hey, Helena. What's your question?
Hey. Good question. A while back, you said you mentioned, like, for extra money to do karaoke. And now there's a possibility for me to do karaoke night as a fundraiser for a radio station, and I might be able to make
fun.
A little bit of. Well, you know, it's funny. I'm not that big of a fan of karaoke, but I think it would be fun. Ultimately, I really do. So I'm wondering what you get on that, and I probably can make a little bit of money off it, which would be good.
Okay, so here's I'm going to share with you a different story, just really quick.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I got invited to this thing. And I'd had a really, really rough day that day. I really did. It was just a tough day. And the last thing I wanted to do was go be social, seriously. But I forced myself to go to the thing. I ended up running into someone that it had offered me, that actually offered me an opportunity that had not, if I had not shown up, it would not have happened.
Mm.
Okay. So now I'm saying that to you because even though there's some trepidation and reluctance to actually do this gig, I think you need to do the gig.
Okay.
Because it's about the people that you're going to meet there. And it could even be that the place you end up doing this karaoke night, they might hire you once a week to do it.
Yeah.
And then that's a little extra money, and you put a big tip jar out there because – you know, there are show-offs. You know karaoke. There are show-offs that they want to get up there and sing like five or six times. And they will tip you $10-$20 to do it. You see what I mean?
I do. I'm sorry.
But what it's saying here is that you go in with the idea that this is fun, this is for charity, this is going to be a great event. The more you tip, the more it benefits this charity. Okay? It's saying that there are going to be some valuable contacts that you make there that if you didn't do it, you wouldn't meet them.
Oh, cool. And I was thinking about charging per song for the charity. Do you think it's better just to have an open tip jar?
Well, you can say minimum donation $10. Put a little sign in front of this big, enormous tip jar. I have this, when I do charity events, I donate 100% of what I raise to the charity. And I have this ginormous vase that I bought, I think, at Ross. You know how Ross has the...
Yeah, I love Ross.
Okay.
I love them.
Well, they had this huge... This jar is 2.5 feet high, and it weighs 15 pounds. The thing is huge. Very thick blue glass. And that's what I put on my table because people can't reach into it. They can drop money into it. But if someone tries to steal it, it's too... It's really heavy. So,
too deep,
Exactly. So, and and the only reason I say that is because that has actually happened, where I've done a fundraiser, I raised $400 or $500, and somebody, and I had a little tiny vase, and it was just jammed with 20s. I mean, just jammed. And somebody came by when I was in the middle of the reading, grabbed it, and ran out the door.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and this was in a nice
hotel.
Right. No, this isn't a nice hotel. You would. So now I bring this. Now I lug that in whenever I do a charity event because it's too obvious. You see what I mean? But anyway, what I would do is I would put a $10 suggested donation to Sing and on the little sign and say all proceeds benefit the charity. Or you can even just put proceeds to benefit the charity if they're giving you permission to take a little bit from that tip jar.
Yeah,
I would donate
100%. Probably would.
Just it makes it easier, makes people more in a giving mood if they know that 100% of what you're doing. Because I volunteer my time, I don't even get paid to be there. So when I do a charity event, I'm volunteering everything, you know, my time, my readings, 100% of the money I raise, and I do that because it's a way of giving back. It also it's the right thing to do, in my opinion. So, but what it's saying is that you need to do it. That's what your cards are saying.
Okay, good. Well, I've got people behind me now. The manager at the station and the woman that owns the cafe is up for it. And she'll even get the equipment. So now that I have everything behind me, I can do it.
That sounds fabulous.
Yeah, and
I'm
thinking of naming
idea.
It. Oh, good. Well, you helped this. Because it was with a reading with you months and months and months ago. And I'm thinking of calling it Sing Your Heart Out for the call letters of the radio station.
Oh, that's great. Oh, my gosh. I wonder if you can get a T-shirt printing company to do a Sing Your Heart Out T-shirt.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I wonder if they would donate it, and then everybody that donates actually gets one of the T-shirts.
You know, that's a great idea because I also am part of a women's press collective, again, in the city. And I think I can get an artist to do it and maybe look a wet place to get T-shirts donated for this. That'd be great.
And then
put the
actual heart singer and then the actual heart symbol over kind of the left side of the T-shirt so the heart goes over the person's heart. That would be, oh, my God, that'd be awesome. All right, gal pal,
thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Again.
See you later.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. All right, I've got somebody here from the 678 area code. Hello, 678. Who's this?
Hi, Mona. This is Regina.
Hi, Regina. What's your question?
My question is about love and see what is love going to bring for me this year or a significant other?
Well, you know, here's the thing, and I get this right away with you, and I just want to say this before I turn any cards over, is I want to say this. You need to be in a group situation where men see you laughing and having a good time. And I know this is going to sound really bizarre, but I'm going to show. I'm going to actually tell you the image I have in my head for you. Is I see you sitting there with a bunch of puppies at like a rescue shelter. And you're petting the puppies and you're playing with the puppies and there's a lot of people there all doing the same thing because they might be helping to raise money for getting these puppies adopted or something. But I see you giggling and laughing and smiling, and it might not be with a bunch of puppies. I'm just getting that image that I see you laughing and smiling and doing something that is meaningful and it's heartfelt but has nothing to do with actually looking directly at love. You know how sometimes you look up at the night sky, and that and you see stars in your peripheral vision, but when you direct your eyes to the actual where you thought you saw the stars, they disappear.
Right. Yes.
It's the way the light is coming to you, all right? And what it's saying is that by you not looking directly in the eyes of love, but instead living in the vibration of love, that's how you draw him to you.
Okay. I can definitely.
Because here's the thing.
I get that.
Okay, because what I'm getting here is that there's no reason why you can't be in an absolutely marvelous relationship. And what I'm seeing is as soon as you get into some activity where you can smile and laugh, I mean, like even if you got involved with a kid's, a charity where they do like a walk for kids, you know, like a 5K walk, and you volunteer and you help with the registration and you do the walk and you're laughing and giggling with everybody and, you know, your outfit matches. I mean, it's just, I can see you getting involved in something that has to do with the verb love, not the goal of love.
Okay.
And that's how
okay.
you meet them.
Wow. Okay.
You know, pretty big stuff, huh? And
I know.
By the way, there's okay. there's a guy from the past that really needs to stay there. So
oh,
if
he
there's
is.
A guy.
I definitely know who you're talking about.
Yeah. If there's a guy that keeps calling you, you need to stop answering the phone call. He needs to be in
okay.
the past. All right, go. Thanks for calling.
All right, thank you.
See you later. Bye. Okay, bye. All right, you guys. I will be back live next Sunday. Thank you so much for these absolutely awesome calls today, and we'll be talking again soon.
The Dice Wisdom app is an entirely new method of divination. Based on the casting of two regular dice, this entertaining app is a remarkable way to receive clarity on your questions. Easy to use, accurate, and thought-provoking, the Dice Wisdom app will provide you with the exact attitude, action, or energy to promote the most positive response to your query. Ask a yes or no question, ask about how to attract love, or simply tap the dice for daily meditation. Find out more at dicewisdom.com. Go ahead and roll the dice. Your life only gets better from here.
Thank you for tuning in to Psychic View with Mona. Each week, Mona selects a fan from her Facebook page for an extended reading, so if you'd like to be considered, please like her page. Her Facebook page is Mystic Mona, and you may also follow The Mystic Mona on Twitter. Indicate Psychic View as a favorite on Blog Talk and be notified of Mona's special programs. Tune in to Psychic View each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Time and call in to ask your question. Psychic View is brought to you on Blog Talk Radio for your entertainment and consideration. Mona is available for Las Vegas trade shows, VIP parties, and special events. Phone sessions are also available by appointment. You may contact Mona by dialing 702-571-0461. That's 702-571-0461. Or by going to her website at mysticmona.com. Thank you for sharing your morning with Mona, and remember, Psychic View, because the present moment is the gift.